Hi, welcome to the Word Sower Podcast, a podcast where we get personal with God's Word, discovering how it's relevant and alive today, and how we can respond. I'm Robin.
And I'm Mary. In each episode, we read scripture, ask questions, and discuss how God's Word has impacted us. So don't miss out on the insights, stories, and laughter as we learn together about what God is saying to each one of us and find encouragement to share it with others. Follow the Word Sower Podcast for a dose of good news.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mary.
Thanks so much for being with me here today, studying the Word of God. And we're in the middle of Jonah's story, right?
Right.
And so the story of a prophet of God who was sent to the great city of Nineveh to the Assyrians, who said no and took ship and went on his way to Tarshish. And God's will was that by ship or by fish, that he would travel to Nineveh, right?
And right. So
we're going to pick up with chapter 3 after the fish has spit Jonah out of his mouth, right?
Yeah. And he was the reluctant prophet, but he got there and God gave him a second chance. That's so amazing. But anyway, yes, I'll begin on Jonah 3, verse 1. Okay. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow.
When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they'd done and how they'd put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he threatened. Amen.
Amen. I mean, that's wonderful that he didn't, but you know what? And I think how awesome it was that that king humbled himself, took off his royal robes. And I mean, that's pretty amazing. He believed the word of the Lord and put on burlap and sat in ashes, you know?
That's, yeah. And we'll see him when we get to heaven. We will see him.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. You know, because what's different between him and Abraham, as far as we know, just from this picture of him in the story? Abraham believed God and God counted it as righteousness. It's not about being 100% always doing the right thing. God said he believed and counted that faith as righteousness, which is the premise that Paul has in the book of Romans for, and we're not going to dig into all of that right now, but that's the premise, is that it's not works, it's faith that saves us by grace.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so Jonah, can you imagine how he must have looked after he had been in the belly of a fish for all of, I think he was white because of the digestive juices and saliva.
I've heard that,
And he must have scared the tar out of the people. Here comes this really ghostly looking man that I don't think they knew who he was. And then he said, you know,
He gave the worst sermon ever. This is the worst sermon. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed.
But you know what? He didn't say repent. How did this, how do they know to
Well,
repent?
let's, what does it say in the King James?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he said,
Another.
yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I mean, that's, yeah, he doesn't say anything about repent. You're right. And there is no, there's no grace or mercy in that message.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, and I heard some, maybe it was in a study. I was just checking this story of Jonah out. He didn't like Nineveh was a huge was a his Syrian city, and they were wicked and were beating up on the Jews, and I
They were slaughter. They would slaughter and
they would
torture
slaughter him. So
Jews. So not.
it's
It's
like.
not just a little, like dispute between the Cowboys and the Redskins. It's
No, it was more like Hezbollah,
absolutely.
Hamas. Yeah.
It's yeah, and Israel, right? So absolutely.
So he really he hated the Assyrians, and he did not want them to repent. But after that fish thing, and he was thrown into the sea, in chapter two, when we realize, in chapter one, you know, he tried to go to Tarshish or wherever, and it didn't work. And then, you know, what we read in the other previous podcast, and a fish swallowed it. I mean, and can you imagine? This is freaking the people in
But I had also heard that, and I don't know if this is true. This is not like the gospel truth as far as I know, but I had heard that the Ninevites worshiped fish, or there was a fit like a fish type god. I'm serious. There was some
That
kind of a
is hilarious.
fish
We need
type
to Google this.
god.
We need to Google this.
I'm gonna Google.
Yeah, because, and I also heard there had been a solar eclipse recently. In ancient times, when a solar eclipse happened, now this isn't in the Bible either, but you can Google it. And they said it was about the time of right before Jonah. They were scared to death because they didn't have any of the scientific stuff. And they feared that they were going to be destroyed. And then when he came looking white as a sheet and started walking in the city, no wonder they said freaked out. Okay.
So on Christianity.com, who was Dagon, the Philistine fish deity? The name Dagon in the Bible derives from the word dag, which means fish. So the Assyrians are, they worship a fish god. So I don't think, when sometimes we can't see how God's working stuff out in our lives, we think, this is the worst day of my life. And certainly, if you had been swallowed by a fish, that's the worst day of your life. But he maybe the whole thing happened the way it did. God takes our mess, Romans 8:28, he takes our mess and he works it out for his good and for the good of those who love him and are called to his purpose. And he uses the thing that you thought was the worst thing that could ever happen to you. I'm swallowed by a fish. I'm dead at the bottom of the sea. And it's actually a vehicle that God uses to call others to repentance. And that's been my experience with my alcoholism, is that, that I lived through, survived this tragedy of being addicted to alcohol and making all these bad decisions and just all this chaos. But now I'm the person who can talk to the alcoholic, whereas some of my other non-alcoholic nurses, they just, and friends, non-alcoholic people, they don't understand that an alcoholic is a sick person who doesn't want to be doing the things they're doing. And
They're
the mechanisms of
self-medicating.
being caught up in that, and I don't have any judgment for you because I'm a co-struggler. I've gone through that stuff, but I have a solution in my life, and if you want that solution, we say in my fellowship, my recovery fellowship, we say, probably no human power could have relieved my alcoholism, and that
Exactly.
God could and would if he were sought. And it's really not complicated, and I can introduce you to a higher power, whom I choose to call God, that will save your life just like he saved my life.
Right. And you
And
did, yeah, and you have this, that was 20,
26 years ago.
26 years ago.
So,
God has kept
yeah,
you.
so look at what God did. God had this reluctant prophet who he was literally taking him, I want you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with me. I'm going to be there. And but Jonah did fear the evil and he went the other way,
Yeah, but
and he says he packaged him in a fish so that
that's
when these
crazy.
guys saw him
Crazy.
and he's got
Yeah.
this crazy story, what happened to you? Or you're never going to believe this, but
Yeah.
a fish brought me to you.
Yeah.
Wow. And
Oh.
these guys worship Dagon, the fish god. Now they're going to listen to this Hebrew.
Yeah. And that's crazy, but that's part of it. And I just Googled this, and this is the prophet Jonah is said to have preached to the people of Nineveh on the day of a solar eclipse in 763 BC before Christ. The eclipse is thought to have occurred around the time Jonah arrived in Nineveh. Only God could have done that, and urged the people to repent. The dramatic repentance of the people of Nineveh is described in the book of Jonah. And then it talks about the Assyrian eclipse. This Bar-Sagali eclipse occurred over Nineveh during the reign of Jeroboam II. The eclipse was seen as an omen of destruction by the ancient Assyrians. So that was it. And the ancient Babylonians believed that solar eclipses were omens. Well, we're going to go just with the Assyrian because that's what they were. So, hello, God did
God
that.
used the world
God
to
used, he can use.
convey his message.
Yeah.
And that's
So,
what Paul says. He says, no one is without excuse. No one has an excuse because all of creation testifies. And certainly this is special circumstance where there's an eclipse, there's a man swallowing fish, but all of creation means all of creation testifies. And he uses those things to to bring people to the end of themselves where they can listen.
Exactly. So to me, all this is showing God's rich mercy on this wicked people that.
No more or less wicked than we are.
Yeah, I mean,
I really believe because,
oh
even
yeah.
though I could say, well, I'm not Hamas, I'm not Hezbollah, I'm not ISIS or something like that. However, Jesus, boy, he brought it to a new level. He said, if you've called somebody Raka, if you call your brother stupid head, then you're guilty of murder. And everybody's like, well, wait a minute, Jesus. Don't you don't know my you don't know my brother, do you? But and he says, if you have lusted after a woman, or I would say a man in this day and age, with your eyes, then you're guilty of adultery. But it's in our heads and it's in our hearts. And Jesus says, it's not what you put into your body that makes you sinful, it's what comes out of your heart that makes you sinful. And it's the heart issue. Sin is a heart issue.
And at the bottom of this, I mean, at the end, chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw what they had done and how they put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. Jonah, he didn't want them saved because they were an evil, wicked city. But we are just as wicked in ways as you just described. But God is so merciful. He is so merciful. And he had mercy on these people because they don't know their right hand from their left. I mean, he had mercy on them. And there's so many times that, and even in our nation today, this
Do
is
you
a
see any of these, top people in our country stepping down from their thrones, taking off their royal robes, dressing them in burlap and sitting on a heap of ashes in repentance?
I don't, but I'm believing it could happen. You know, Chuck Colson, when he was caught in the Watergate scandal, I think they sent him to prison, but he came to the Lord. And some people will, and God will have mercy on whoever comes to the Lord, no matter how wicked they are. Nobody can sincerely repent. And there were some wicked people in Nineveh, but they were scared to death. I mean, they were scared and they thought, this is going to happen, the
They
solar.
were scared to life.
They were scared to life. That
That's good.
is what happened.
Yeah.
We're
Yep.
scared to life. And, you know, I'm wondering if Jonah was going to feel embarrassed because he said 40 days and it's going to be destroyed. Well, guess what? It wasn't destroyed. And
But we're
did
not
he,
there
I
yet.
mean, was he in thinking, I want the glory, I want them destroyed because now they think I'm a liar. But that wasn't the case. They knew that the potential was there. So
I think Jonah had a heart of justice and retribution.
yeah,
I
just
think
like most
that's
of them.
that absolutely. We, you know, when I see somebody pass me recklessly on the road, been riding up and down 95 and, you know, from North Carolina to Northern Virginia, Maryland,
Yeah.
and you know, these people, they don't think twice about doing the most reckless things on, you know, passing and cutting people off. And sometimes I do, I think, I hope there's a cop up there that's going to stop you. And it's not because I'm so concerned about all of this, although I am. I
You're
want them to
mad.
get it.
You're
I
mad.
want them to get it.
Yeah, we
I want to
do.
see you pulled on the side of the road.
Well, the yes, and I just it's just you
And that's
want
Jonah's
justice.
problem. He wants
Yeah.
them to get theirs.
And he knew that the Lord was a God of mercy and compassion, and he knew. And but he didn't want to share that with the Ninevites. He kind of wanted to keep it all in Israel, I think. I don't know. He was
God has a track record of completely destroying, first of all, the whole world in Genesis. When he saw the wickedness of all mankind, and Noah was the only one that was counted as righteous, and he told Noah to build an ark and put his family in the ark, and he did destroy the whole world.
That's
So there's
right.
that. When Joshua was bringing the Israelites after Moses had passed away, Joshua was bringing the Israelites into Canaan. God was he God told them to completely destroy all these people. And then with Saul and on, all these different people in any given time, God has decided that you know, to destroy people. And so, you know, that's when you and I don't think of God that way because we're on this side of the cross.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son that none should perish. And so it's hard for me and probably a lot of us on this side of the cross to read the Old Testament and how, you know, destroying men, women, and children. What do you mean,
Yeah.
God? You know, and sometimes destroying even all the animals. Well, hey, what do you mean, God? And we just have to rely on him that he knows what he's doing. His
Yeah.
ways are higher than our ways. But
Yeah.
it, you know, the idea that Jonah didn't just come down bloodthirsty out of his own, you know, thinking, that is something that has been true about God, is that he has destroyed all peoples. And even on this side of the cross, every civilization that's popped up has not continued. You don't see the Roman Empire anymore. There's lots of people who aren't here anymore.
That's
And we
right.
don't think of that. I don't think of it that way. But God is God. And we belong to him, not really the other way around.
So they had a reason, and they knew that. Some of these people knew the history. And even in this, in Jonah 3:9, when the king was deciding to repent, to fast and praise, verse 9 says, "Who can tell? Perhaps yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us." So they knew that he could destroy him, but so in Joel 2:14, it says, "Who knows?" That was in the Old Testament, but that scripture in Joel 2:14, "Who knows if he, God, will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." And that was another time they were in trouble and needed to cry out to the Lord. There have been instances in the Bible throughout the Old Testament, and we're
Oh,
still in
yeah.
the Old Testament at this point with Jonah, and it was
Yeah.
Jehoshaphat. Now, this was within the nation of Israel. And Second Chronicles 20, verse 3, "Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." So what happened? These armies were coming against Judah, and they had no way. They were outnumbered. They had no way of winning. But then the son of Zechariah, who was a prophet at the time, said, "The battle is not ours, but the Lord's, and you will not need to fight this battle." And I'm paraphrasing through several verses. "Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." But it goes back, Mary, to the premise. Repent, turn your eyes to the Lord. He's the one who can deliver. And when you repent and fast and pray, you're turning your eyes to the Lord and crying out to him for deliverance. So, same thing. So, these are patterns throughout the Old Testament, how God's rich mercy and patience. I know, like you said, with your alcohol, with me, with emotional issues and stubbornness of heart, he's been very patient with me. And I've blown it a number of times, and I continue, but I began my journey when I was 14 and got saved in it, and have gone on to try to follow him as best I know. So God's loving kindness is better than mercies are new every morning. And he does pay attention when we repent and turn to him as he.
Absolutely. And more of us should believe in him the way this king of Nineveh did. You know, that God is going to keep his promises. He's never, you're not doing this in your own strength. You don't have to get through today on your own. You don't have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Nowhere in scripture does it ever say God
That's
helps
right.
those who help themselves.
Right. It does say don't try to figure it out. Trust the Lord. But in this case, with King Jehoshaphat, the other armies who were more numerous, they turned on themselves and ambushed themselves, and they won the battle, and they survived, whatever. So God was merciful, but it's supernatural. This whole thing is supernatural about Jonah and the fish, but God can do anything. People, even Jesus, this is not just a story. This is truth, because Jesus said in Matthew 12:41, and I think we've already mentioned it, but the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed greater than Jonah is here. And that was, and
Yeah,
we
Jesus knew that Jonah is not a it's not a fairy
fable.
tale. And he testifies, the Bible testifies, Jesus Christ is a real person who really lived here, and he testifies to, this is what's real. So I used to struggle with stuff like, a man swallowed by a fish, or, the whole
Exactly.
world got washed away, or everybody in the world spoke one language and was gonna make a t tower to heaven or something like that. And
Yes.
I
They
thought,
split
this stuff's just not,
fairy
like,
tales,
that's
fairy
not
tales.
real.
But you know what?
But
Let me say this.
archaeology bears out the Bible.
Yes. And if Mary, if the Bible is just a fairy tale, why is it banned in 52 countries? No one goes to prison for reading Cinderella. I mean, if really was, listen to this, if it was really made up, then it's supposed to have no power. So why ban it? It's banned because it's the most powerful, freeing, and
It's a
transparent
holy war.
truth. It's true.
It's a holy war. It's a war, because we are, whether you think so or not, when you look at your sweet little baby or a grandchild, they are born at enmity with God. They are born in a state of lostness and war, and that's every one of us. There's nobody who's, I mean, some kids are easier to take care of, but they all are born with a bent to, I'll do it myself, I'll do it my way. And you
My
never
way.
had to teach your child to say no.
Yeah, they know that right from the womb, right from the start.
That's right.
I not, no.
And so we all have, to whatever degree or not, that we want to please others, that's personality. But we all have a spiritual reality that we are born apart from God, and we all need a savior, no
That's
matter
right.
who we are, no matter what our background is. Even Jesus' mom was born in sin. And she was a special lady. She was handpicked by God to be Jesus'
Revered
mom.
throughout the ages, yes,
And
but
we
not
respect
sinless.
her. Yeah, we respect her. But she was in as much lostness as we were. Abraham, Moses, all of these, great patriarchs and heroes of the Bible were born just as sinful as anybody else, and we all need a savior. And so it's the hardest, though, I think, on people like this guy, who you've got a whole country that's revering you. These in Japan, like, isn't the emperor thought to be divine?
Well, he
And
was thought to be divine, but I think in World
that's
War
worn
II
off.
kind of showed that he wasn't, but they did keep him and they could have killed him and they did not. And anyway, it's a long story. But yeah, he's bordering on divine, just like Queen Elizabeth that was in England or
Exactly.
some of the monarchies. They
And even though in our country we have elected officials, there is this idea that they're untouchable. We're always looking for a candidate who, with a perfect record, and then all of the smear campaign comes out. But and the people who have the most, they have the farthest to fall. And so, if you are on a self or community built throne, that you're elevated above other people, and you've got all of this riding on your reputation, how much harder it is to humble yourself and to, in front of other people, to bow down on your knees to God and say, you are God, and we are at your mercy, and we're praying for mercy. And
Yeah.
so I commend this guy. And that's the thing, is that doesn't mean that yesterday or that morning he wasn't absolutely murderous and horrific. Right? Just because this guy humbled himself doesn't mean he was a good guy.
I
And
will.
so you see, like, when these people come into church and they don't look cleaned up and they don't talk cleaned up and they've got a backstory, And that's like one of the favorite things right now during this campaign is, hey, this candidate has a backstory. Well, hello. Don't we all have a backstory? And so even people with a backstory, as evidenced by the king of Nineveh, right, can humble ourselves. We can humble ourselves no matter where we were yesterday or even this morning. We can humble ourselves and come before God and admit, hey, God, I have not been living in your will. And Lord, save me.
And even, I think I mentioned Joel, and about turning to you in Joel 2:12 through the 14th, it says, "Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart." This is humbling yourself with fasting, with and with mourning. So rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for your God. So these verses show that God will save even the most hardened heart, even the most wicked person, even us. And he's God and we're not. And talking about the royalty, Mary, you were talking about, and people tend to worship royalty, but I remember Queen Elizabeth of England, she's gone to be with the Lord now, but she humbled herself and said, "My faith has helped me. She loved Billy Graham. She loves the Christians. She supported it." And she humbled it. And that was so touching to me. But very few people I have noticed that are elevated so high, do we ever hear that from, that they're humbling themselves, that they're bowing the knee now before it's too late. Everybody's, it says, one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But the blessing goes to those who bow today. Bow,
Willingly.
yes, willingly, because we know he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're so grateful for, I'm so grateful for his mercy in my life. I know, again, that I'm not without, my mess ups, my blow ups, whatever during my life, during my journey, but I know my life is so much better and much richer. And than it would have ever been without the Lord. I mean, I probably would be dead, or in a mental institution, as I was headed to at age 22. Now, 50 years later of following the Lord, I know of his mercy. I know of his love. I know of
And
his
his
deliverance.
faithfulness.
Yeah, his faithfulness. And he who is able to deliver is able to keep. Just both of you and I have had some pretty horrendous trials. And because of God's rich mercy, and we turn to him and bow the knee and still every day do it, because he's worthy. He's worthy.
Well, that's what I'm supposed to do. Honestly, some days I get out of bed and I start walking
Oh, me
before
too.
I connect to
I do
him.
this. Yeah, I get on
And
auto.
those are the worst days.
Yeah, I
The
go.
days when I get quiet with him and get my head straight that I'm loved, I'm protected and cared for. God's
Cherished.
got this stuff. I don't have to control everybody else. I mean, that's really hard for me is to let go of my, I talk about like how little kids want to wear their, like a little girl puts on her mom's shoes or a little boy puts on his dad's shoes. And then what happens? You trip because they're too big for you. And that's exactly what happens to me is I put on my God shoes and then I trip and I fall. And what I need to do is I need to let God be God and I can do me, and so that's when I've really been using the Serenity Prayer a whole lot, which is not scriptural, but I think it's been valuable to me. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and people that I cannot change, courage to change the things and the person that I can, and wisdom to know the difference that's modified. And then this is so beautiful. It's like I said, it's not scripture, but let me read. There's so a lot of people know that first part, courage to change the things I can, serenity to accept the things I can't change, wisdom to know the difference. And then if you go on reading it, though, it says living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen.
Love that. I love
Yeah, they don't really know who wrote that. There's a guy named, I'll butcher this, Reinhold Niebuhr may have. He usually gets some kind of author's credit for it, but I don't think, some stuff's just around and you don't know who it was. But that second part of, well, the whole thing is really good, where God, what's mine? God, what's yours? Give me wisdom to know. And then it's really that scripture that says, is it in Colossians or somewhere, it says that we should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus. That's really what that prayer is all about.
Yes. That he humbled himself and became a servant. He created the universe. He created everything. He created you and me, but he humbled himself and became a servant. And that's a role model for us. He washed his disciples' feet, right?
Even Judas.
Even Judas. And he told us, you worship the God, you love God, but you love one another. And you love your enemy, bless your enemies, do not bless them, do not curse them, do not, hate on them. It was every it's humankind's
Pray for those who persecute you.
right. And it's our natural humanness to hate our enemies. That is your natural. I look at the murder mysteries. It's revenge is mine, saith man. But no. God says, revenge is mine, saith the Lord.
Yeah,
Right.
absolutely. So this guy, Jonah, we find him walking into hell. I'm sure he thought he would be killed there in Nineveh after making it out of that fish. Gives the worst sermon ever. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. And then it's like all hell falls apart. It doesn't break loose, it falls apart. And there's this wave of repentance. So it's a great story of the fact that anybody can repent and be saved. Anybody can humble themselves before the Lord and be saved.
Right. And even though the Assyrians didn't deserve it, God spared them when they repented. And in his great love, his compassion and forgiveness, he continues to love us when we blow it, when we fail him. But he also loves other people, not of our particular group or backgrounds, or races or
Yeah,
denominations.
he loves the world. God loves the world.
His love is global because he created the whole world, and we should be concerned. I think Jonah was very Israel centered. It was he thought he was a center, kind of the
That,
universe.
well, I mean, it makes sense because there's all of the scripture that, there's God's going to bless the world through Israel, and Jerusalem, Zion is his footstool and his special possession, and his throne is there. And so, I think it's not just hard for Jonah, but for everybody to wrap their mind around the fact that God is not just for the Israelites. But Paul goes through scripture. He does a great job of explaining, especially in the book of Romans, I think, how as far back as Abraham, he's talking about the nations, the nations, the nations. And
Right,
it's
right.
not just Israel, it's the
No,
nations, it's everybody.
No, and
God
it,
wants everybody in his family, not just Israelites.
that's right. And you
But
know what? I studied a little bit the book of Jonah right before we've done this podcast, and it looks like Jonah had a prophetic ministry at least 30 more years after this. But so he did ha go move on to have other assignments, and the Ninevites didn't kill him. And the other thing is that it looks like the repentance for Nineveh was short-lived, because the city was destroyed about 50 or 60 years, 60 some years later.
Yeah, the Assyrians didn't stay humble and living in God's will. We know that because they took Israel captive and were horrific.
But for those people who repented at that time, which I think was, God spared them, it looks like. Should they have gone to the Lord when they were still believing, who knows? But God was merciful. It just shows again God's mercy and love, I think, all of us, and no matter who we are, because he's God and we're not. Do what he wants
And
to do.
he's faithful. He's his
Thank you.
love is a covenantal love. You and I, so in English, we have one word for I love you, I love pizza, I love North Carolina, I love watching The Office. I mean, that's it. That's all you get. And in Greek, not that this part would have been written in Greek, but the New Testament is pretty much written in Greek. And in Greek, there are, at least that I know of, three different words that mean I love or to love. And we've got the of course, the husband and wife love, the eros, the sexual love. We've got the brotherly love, phileo, like Philadelphia. And that means I love you because I love you because we, our personalities click, or I love you because you're a family member of mine. I love you because there's something about you that I like and that makes me love you. But God's love, agape love, is different. And in Hebrew, you would say chesed love. And that is a covenantal love. That means I love you in spite of. So I love you in spite of the fact that you're a liar, a cheat, a thief, and a whore. I love you in spite of the fact that you rebel against me. I love you in
Wow.
spite of the fact that you killed my son. I love you in spite of the fact that you took him for granted, and on, like all of the things. And somebody might say, well, I wasn't there when Jesus died, but your sin was there. It was my sin that put him on the cross.
And mine,
It was
yeah.
your sin that put him on the cross.
It
And
was.
he took on all of the sin for all of the world, for every generation. And he did it willingly. He was not a victim. But now, what's my part? To agree with him that sin is sin, to repent and turn the other way, to trust that Jesus miraculously has reconciled me to God, and not to take it for granted. It's not like, well, I bought my fire insurance at church last week, and now I don't have to think about it. And we want to not just thank Jesus for taking our sin on the cross, but we want to be a living sacrifice. Paul says we're going to be a living sacrifice, and that we would die to ourselves, and our lives would be lived according to his wants, wishes, and will, and in that way. So we don't worship with dead animals. We don't sacrifice bulls, goats, and sheep, and lambs, and doves, and all of this. Our sacrifice is that we contemplate him with gratitude and follow him. God, where are you going today? Who are you talking to today? How can I
walk with you today. So, are you serving in the nursery today, Jesus? And he says, yes, follow me. Are you singing in the choir today, Jesus? Yes, follow me. Are you talking to hopeless alcoholics today, Jesus? He says, yes, follow me. Are you going to sit with my lonely neighbor today, Jesus? And he says, yes, follow me. He wants us to live a relational life with him, to follow, because he's doing all that stuff, whether we come or not. He's in the homeless shelter. He's in the nursery. He's at your lonely friend's home. He just wants you to come with him. He wants me to come with him. All of it. So that's we can. It's not just about repent and get your fire insurance. It's about repent from being in charge of your life and follow this one whose ways are higher than our ways in a relationship, a family relationship, a groom and a bride relationship. He's the groom and we're the bride. Whether you're a girl or not, if you're a Christ follower, you're the bride of Christ.
That's right. Yeah, the church is the bride of Christ, and it's global. And
Yeah.
God cares about every tribe, every tongue, every nation. He loves us.
Yeah.
We're his
Yeah.
kids. I mean, everybody, we're his creation, but those that come to God through Christ, we're his kids, we're his children.
That's
So
right.
you and
With the
I.
full inheritance of the firstborn son, Jesus didn't just pay for our sin. He
Crazy.
elevated us to firstborn sonship, which means a double portion of everything that belongs to the Father. That's
That
what
is.
we get, and it's not about, oh, I can't wait to have a floor of gold, or I mean, some of this, I understand where some of that imagery comes from, because I've read that scripture in Revelation that talks about what the new heaven is going to be like. Most of us are not really concerned about what the floor is going to be made of or what the gate's going to be made of. We just want to be with our Savior and with our family who's gone before us, our loved ones.
That's it. That's it. Because we were t my husband and I were talking about our mansion in heaven, what we want. It, in my rooms there, in my house, there are many mansions or whatever,
Rooms.
rooms. And what I envision heaven to be like would be all my family close by in the
Oh,
rooms,
yeah.
and my friends that I love that have gone on, the Christian friends, and extended. Just we're all close by each other and can fellowship, serve God together, whatever it is in eternity He has for us. Because I'm sure that there's some things we're not going to be sitting on clouds. We're going to be, He's got some special work for us to do and enjoy and serve one another in love. And so it's going to be awesome, Mary. I mean, we're like a flower fading in the grass. Oh my goodness. And eternity is before us, and it's going to be so incredible. We can't even
Yeah.
comprehend how wonderful.
I told my dad, so my mother-in-law and my mom and my grandmother, they've all gone on. They've all passed away. And I told my dad one time, when I get to heaven, I want to cook with my mom and my mother-in-law and my grandma. And he said, he sort of screwed up his face a little bit. He said, I guess everybody has their own idea of what heaven is
Yeah, and
like,
that's
because he
okay.
doesn't want to cook.
But we'll find out when we get there. I
Yeah.
mean, some
Well, I
people.
won't be a nurse. There's what, there's some things you can know absolutely. I will
Yeah,
not be a nurse because
because
there
there are
won't
no
be any
sick
sick
people.
people. Yeah.
Oh, glory.
So, yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, this has been so great being with you today, studying
Yeah.
the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 3. And next week we're going to come back and be looking, wrap up Jonah in chapter 4. We're going to find out, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. And it's kind of a, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with Jonah, was swallowed by a fish, and maybe don't
know too much more than that. But that's what's exciting when you dial in on scripture and you go verse by verse and chapter by chapter, as you realize these are real people. They're just like us. They have personality defects just like us. And, sometimes there's some kind of a happy ending in some of these stories. And sometimes, just like in real life, people are just sort of quirky. So we're going to find
But
out next week about Jonah, how
yeah.
it worked out for him and the Ninevites. We know that God saved the Ninevites, but we want to find out the last little bit. So, listener, we're grateful for you. We're praying for you. If you found this valuable, like and subscribe so that it'll show up in your feed and other people's feed more often. And if you have prayed to receive Christ, tell somebody. Don't keep it a secret. Anybody who wants to, no matter what your life looks like today, anybody can come to the Lord, and He is faithful to save.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Robin. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Word Sower podcast. We're grateful for you and your interest in knowing God and His Scripture. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can have one starting today. Right now, right where you are, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I want to turn from my sins, living life my own way, and I want you to decide what my life should be. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. Come into my heart and life to be my Lord and Savior. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Make me new and guide me. Your will be done. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are a new person in Jesus. We would love to hear from you and help you know what next steps to take. You can reach us at wordsowerpodcast@gmail.com. We look forward to the next time we're together when we will open up the Word of God and share how it has changed our lives with you.